Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And boy, oh boy, do I have a dystopian one for you today. I know these are some of your favorite videos because the European Union is really tightening the grip yet again on the citizens. This time it is via the banknotes, via the propaganda, and via the digital ID that apparently, according to their survey, over 80% of the people want. Now, I'm going to show you the truth behind the survey and actually how they have misrepresented the data in order to come to this conclusion. Needless to say, it's not accurate. So let's go over to the shared screen here then, and let's go through these reports. Let's begin on the ECB website then, the European Central Bank. And this came out about a month ago. ECB publishes study on environmental impact of euro banknotes. Now, the sheer amount of time and energy that was put into this study and report, you would think this is a big deal. It must have a big environmental impact. Well, wait until you see the percentage of what the impact is, and you'll see that this is just nonsense. The European Central Bank, ECB, today published an environmental footprint study of euro banknotes as a payment instrument. It shows that the average environmental footprint for payments with banknotes was 101 micropoints per euro area citizen in 2009. This is equivalent to driving a car for 8 kilometers or 0.01% of the total environmental impact of a European citizen's annual consumption activities. Now, this is not to be confused with the European Union's consumption activity, which is far greater when you take into account government and industry and everything else. This is just a citizen's, which is 0.01%. We've just got to get that in there to be absolutely clear, because this is nothing to do with the environmental impact of banknotes. I mean, they're making out as if these banknotes are, you know, the worst thing possible for the environment, when actually it's just a banknote. It's a piece of paper or a piece of cotton or plastic, whatever the EU are using these days. If anything, this stuff could be used for burning to generate electricity in terms of, we'll get into the disposal aspects very shortly. The study measures the potential environmental impact of all activities in a full cycle of euro banknotes, from raw material acquisition, manufacturing, distribution and circulation, to disposal by euro area national central banks. Trust me, disposing of bits of paper is not exactly difficult. The main factors contributing to the environmental footprint of euro banknotes as a means of payment are the energy consumption of automated teller machines, ATMs, and transportation, followed by processing by the NCBs, paper manufacturing, and the authentication of banknotes in shops. The long lifespan of banknotes and the fact that they are used for many payments means that the impact of banknote production is lower than that of transportation and distribution. See, another key thing let's focus on here is this here, banknotes in shops. There's obviously a reason they are saying that, because they want the businesses to go cashless. We know this, it's in the plans. We've talked about this for years here on the channel. The euro system is committed to making euro banknotes as environmentally friendly as possible. Well, look, they are environmentally friendly anyway. It's such a tiny fraction. It's probably 0.001% of the EU's consumption. I mean, this is crazy. It's nothing to do with consumption and global warming. While ensuring cash is widely available and accepted, really? Do you honestly think they want cash widely available and accepted? Because I don't. Since 2004, the euro system has made efforts to reduce the environmental footprint of euro banknotes. For example, by using only 100% sustainable cotton and banning the disposal of banknote waste in landfill. It's paper. Just burn the things. In addition, ATM manufacturers and banks have made progress in reducing the environmental impact of their machines. The study published today shows that improvements in the energy efficiency of ATMs contributed to a 35% decrease in their environmental footprint between 2004 and 2009. Well, we know what's resulted in an even bigger decrease over the last 3 years, don't we? The campaign against dirty, germ-carrying cash, as well as the biggest impact, just getting rid of all of these ATMs. Yes, the removal of ATMs has been huge, right across all Western economies. Extensive research and development is being conducted to make future euro banknotes even more environmentally friendly at all stages of their life cycle. For instance, the ECB is exploring alternative waste disposal methods for banknotes, such as recycling and the reusing of waste material, and possible improvements to material and components used in the printing process. These actions are also part of the ECB's broader commitment to tackling climate change within its mandate and to reducing its own environmental footprint in line with the objectives of the Paris Agreement and the EU's climate neutrality objectives. Detailed information is available in the ECB's yearly environmental statement. Let's move over to this European digital identity then, which is how this is linking in. And this really is propaganda. I don't care what people think of that, me using that word, because that's what this is. It is political propaganda. And they are blatantly lying about a lot of the stuff. Even some of these surveys, they blatantly manipulate the information and the statistics and the data to say, oh, look, everyone wants this. Everyone is asking us, the government, to produce it. No, they are not. You might have one or two people who might ask for certain things, but you don't have the general populace going out and asking to politicians. That's like saying 80% of people watching this right now have written to your politician on one very specific area. It doesn't happen. So let's see what they are saying then about this EU digital identity. They're saying it will be, not it might be, it will be available to EU citizens, residents, and businesses who want to identify themselves or provide confirmation of certain personal information. No, it won't be a want, this will be a requirement. It can be used for both online and offline public and private services across the EU. Every EU citizen and resident in the Union will be able to use a personal digital wallet. Let's see what Ursula has to say about this. Every time an Apple website asks us to create a new digital identity or to easily log on via a big platform, we have no idea what happens to our data in reality. That is why the Commission and elected officials will propose a secure European e-identity, one that we trust and that any citizen can use anywhere in Europe to do anything from paying your taxes, yes, paying your taxes, to renting a bicycle. You will own nothing and be happy, 2030. A technology where we can control ourselves what data is used and how. Look, let's be realistic here. You are not going to be able to control your own data. The European Commission is going to control your data, obviously. So they have all of these benefits of the EU ID, which are actually not benefits. I don't see what the benefits are to the citizen. They're benefits to the government, but not to the citizen. Here they say operated via digital wallets. Yeah, we talked about this before. Digital wallets, digital ID, central bank digital currency, etc., which will be available on mobile phones and other devices. What are these other devices, you may ask? Identify online and offline. Okay, so it's not just online, it's also offline. Store and exchange information provided by governments, e.g. name, surname, date of birth, nationality. Store and exchange the information provided by trusted private sources. Who are these sources? We're not sure, but they are apparently are trusted. Use the information as confirmation of the right to reside, to work, or to study in a certain member state. So why is it needed? Good question. Well, it's not really. A digital identification systems offered by governments in the EU today have several important shortcomings. They are not available to the whole population. Well, there you go. They've just proven that what they said at the start was not accurate, because they obviously want this available to the whole population. They are often limited to online public services and not allow for seamless access cross-border. Drop in the comments what you think they mean by that. Only 14% of key public service providers across all member states allow cross-border authentication with an e-identity system. For example, to prove a person's identity on the internet without the need for a password. The number of successful cross-border authentications per year is very small, though on the increase. Now, this is where we get into these studies and everything else, which just, this is not accurate. 72% of users want to know how their data is processed when they use social media accounts. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. I would definitely want to know, or at least, should I say, I'd want the information there available to me should I want to know how my data is being processed. 63% of EU citizens want a secure single digital ID for all online services. Really, really. Well, we'll check that in a moment when we look at the studies. But they also have this, apply for a bank loan before. Very difficult. Look, this man's confused. How do I do it? I just can't figure out how to apply for a bank loan. Oh, look how difficult this is. I have to set up an appointment, meeting at a bank, provide all paper documents. Terrible. The bank sends me a proposal, set up a bank appointment again, meet at the bank. Oh, this is so difficult. I just don't know. I'm so confused. But by using the EU digital identity, the user only has to select the necessary documents that are stored locally on his digital wallet to reply to the bank's request. So look how easy it is after. Look at him. Look at that smile on his face. Look at that for a smile. The user has all his documents in his personal digital wallet, from national ID to his income statement. He selects only the required documents asked for by the bank, and he sends them easily in full security. The bank receives the documents electronically. If there's a document missing, it's only one click away, and that's it. Now it's three steps. Look how easy that was. Look how happy this man is. We're not trying to influence you in any way with any of this, of course. And look at all these great services for both citizens and businesses. E-signature, e-timestamp, e-ID, qualified web authentication certificate, e-seal, electronic card. I mean, this goes on and on and on, all this stuff. So let's look at this Eurobarometer. Europeans show support for digital principles, do they? Well, it says EU citizens think that. That's the first thing that we'll look at here. So what are they seeing then? Importance of digital in daily life. The findings of the survey show that more than 8 in 10, so over 80% of Europeans feel that by 2030, that key date again, digital tools and the internet will be important in their lives. More than 80% of EU citizens think that their use will bring at least as many advantages as disadvantages, while only a small minority, 12%, expects more disadvantages than advantages from the use of digital tools and the internet by 2030. Concerns about online harms and risks. More than 56%, okay, it's getting there. We need this up to about 90% or more before they can get the general populace to accept all of these new control measures. More than 56% of the EU citizens surveyed expressed their concern about cyber attacks and cybercrime, such as theft or abuse of personal data, malicious software or phishing. 53% were also concerned about children online. Of course, who isn't going to say that they are concerned about the safety and well-being of children? And if you've ever seen these studies, the way they print it and the way they ask the question is completely different. So although they've printed here 53% of people are worried about children online, probably what they said in that survey was, do you think that children should be protected online? Tick yes or no, right? Something, or they might have a few more multiple choice. But who is not going to tick yes? Like, obviously, I'm going to get that survey. I'm going to tick yes, children should be protected from XYZ online. But then when they print it, they say more than 53% are worried about the safety of children online. We then have number four, support for declaration on digital principles. A large majority, 82% of EU citizens, considered it useful for the European Union to define and promote a common European vision on digital rights and principles. These principles should have concrete implications for citizens, For example, 90% are in favor of including the principle that everyone, including people with disabilities or at risk of exclusion, should benefit from easily accessible and user-friendly digital public services. Again, obviously, if this was a multiple choice questionnaire, you are going to tick yes. If it says something like, do you think that people with disabilities or something similar to that should be included in all aspects of life that everybody else who, you know, doesn't have a disability has? Don't you think that's the right thing? Of course you're going to tick yes. Everyone's going to tick yes. What person is going to say, no, I think, you know, that's their problem. If they've got a disability, that too bad, you know, doesn't bother me, too bad for them. No, I don't think that we should include them. I mean, come on, this is how they work these surveys. And then they present the data to you as if you think differently to anything in here, like, oh, look, 80% of people want this digital ID, They think it's going to be great for Europeans. And if we don't get it, it's going to be very dangerous. So this is the summary. These are the findings. But they'll never give you the actual survey data or anything like that with it. Occasionally they might, but usually they don't. You have to dig for it. And then by that, I mean, who's gonna do that? People are busy enough as it is. No one's really gonna dig that deep to look for the findings. But it's not just this. In the EU, they are currently, or they're very close to passing this new AI bill. And I was reading over that today as well, which is very interesting. I think we'll have to cover that at some point in the future. But they really are just tightening this grip on citizens. People think this is giving them more freedom. They are deluded if they think that is the case. These bills do not give you more freedom. They take away more of your freedom, your rights, your privileges. Yes, of course, there's going to be some benefits, like speed, for example, convenience, that these things will be more beneficial. But remember, once things like this are implemented, so let's just say, for example, you think the EU government is the most honorable, integral, they are just the best people that you could ever imagine being in leadership. Let's just for a moment pretend you think that's true. Well, what happens historically? You have governments that change very quickly. You might have this amazing government that then becomes this very draconian, evil government. Well, what happens if these systems are already in place? You see, human beings base decisions on time. So they think in the moment. They don't think what could happen 10, 20, 30, 50 years into the future. What could happen for my grandchildren who could be under a regime like that in the future? So even if you do think this is positive now, these tools could be weaponized very quickly in the future to take away people's freedoms, rights, privileges. We've already talked about transport and travel and kill switches in electric vehicles, carbon credit scores, social credit scores. We've covered all this stuff before. It's quite clear even when we look back into the history books, people at the time didn't ever think serfdom would come back or be a thing. And that was without a lot of technology. So imagine what will happen with all of this technology in the future. So there's a little bit of food for thought for you today. Thanks so much for watching. Take care. God bless. I will see you on the next video.